Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell, they're with us today on Crew Call. I'm your host, Anthony D'Alessandro.
Billie's vocals, it was automatic art.
You know, I had to like choose a more challenging route than just like da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could have been like easier. And a lot of people have asked me, like, how did you choose to have it be so soft and like so simple? And what else was it gonna, like, that's what the song wanted.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crew Call podcast on Deadline.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
Ready to celebrate International Women's Day? M&M's and iHeart present Women Take the Mic, sharing empowering stories of women supporting and celebrating each other. And of course, there is a smooth and creamy companion for your listening pleasure, peanut butter M&M's. Because they're just another way to help treat yourself in situations where you deserve a little added delight, like listening to your favorite podcast. So savor the deliciousness of peanut butter M&M's and spread some positivity. From breaking glass ceilings to dominating in sports and entertainment, women truly are unstoppable.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. And we tell stories about everything here on this show, including your story. Send them to OurAmericanStories.com. They're some of our favorites. Up next, a story from a regular contributor, Richard Muñez. Today, Richard shares with us the story of a magical moment in his life when he was young, his first time seeing a satellite. Take it away, Richard.
If you stop and think about it, it's really funny how memories work. I'm not saying funny, haha. I'm saying funny, strange. When I stop and think about it, before 6 years old, my memories are, they're kind of spotty at best. But there is stuff that sticks out more than others. And one of those that sticks out more than some of the other ones is the first time I ever recall seeing a satellite. I wasn't even 5 years old yet, and we were going into the mountains. Now, when I talk about the mountains, what I'm talking about here is a tract of land in northern New Mexico. In years to come, we'd follow Highway 17 up and around Cumbres Pass and come in through a different road. Now, this led up to our summer range, and this is where we took our cattle in the summer. But this time, we took the road up through Osier. Now, at the time, it was nothing more than a large water tank for the steam engines that used to move between Antonito and Chama. The other thing I recall about Osier is the station itself. At the time, it wasn't open, but in this particular memory, what had happened is we had started out for the mountains, and it was already late in the day, and it had been very stormy. What this was a family and extended family trip, and we were going to go up to the mountains. We were going to stay at what we called the Green Cabin. Pretty nice cabin. The reason it had its name was, guess what? It was painted green. Well, as I mentioned, it was pretty stormy. It had rained very heavily. It was raining so heavily up in the mountains, in fact, we kind of aborted our trip up into the mountains. We had two-wheel drive pickups. The soft mud was threatening to get them stuck, so unable to go forward, unable to go back, we stopped and spent the night at Osier. The old station was unlocked, so we took refuge there. I recall everyone bringing in their bedding, and we found a corner to sleep in. A fire was started in the old stove, and a meal was prepared. We ate, and everyone sat around talking. I liked listening to the old-timers talk. They always told such interesting stories. I remember my old granny talking about coming out here with the Mormon expansion. My grandfather talked about coming out here as a boy from Lebanon. Well, later that evening, the storm cleared out and the skies opened up. Washed by the rain, the stars were hard and bright that night, I remember. Echo is supposed to be passing over, I remember someone said. Echo? Yes, that balloon satellite they put up a few weeks ago. So we all went out into the night to look for it. Now, as a four-year-old boy, I had no idea what an artificial satellite was. Oh, I'd seen TV shows and stuff like that, so what I was expecting to see was a full-size 1950s-style rocket thundering overhead. Of course, that's not what I got. The Project Echo satellites were launched in 1960 and 1964. The idea behind them was one we take almost for granted today. Now, way back in 1945, science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke, the same guy who wrote 2001: A Space Odyssey, came up with the idea of using satellites as a means of communication. The following year, they tried some experiments using a more natural satellite, in this case our moon, to reflect microwaves for communications. Well, when Sputnik was launched, Clarke's ideas were right on the verge of becoming reality. Now, the first real attempts at using this idea was pretty simple. Put a big, aluminized balloon up in space and bounce the signals off of that. Now, it took two tries to get the first Echo satellite up. The first one, on May 13, 1960, well, that satellite ended up in the Atlantic. The next attempt came a few months later, this time on August 12th. This time, the satellite settled into orbit some 1,000 miles or so above the Earth. So what we have here is a 100-foot across, aluminized balloon miles above the Earth, catching the sunlight. This made it a really easy target for the eye to spot. So we step out into the cool mountain air. And I remember I looked up, and there's the universe just sprawled out before me. I almost got dizzy looking up. Standing there, on a loading platform of an aged train station, I stood at the edge of infinity. Knots and tangles of stars were overhead, and a ghostly cloud stretched from horizon to horizon, and stars of every color and by the thousands blurred into it. I'd never seen anything so glorious. You see the light from those stars, I remember Dad saying? They're so far away, light left them before you were even born. They're so far away, they may not even be there anymore. Now, the idea of the speed of light meant nothing to me. But if they were that far away, then how far was far? And suddenly I felt very small and very lost in it all. It thrilled me. My cosmos had just grown amazingly big, and I was part of something so much bigger than me. Now, as a young kid, the horizon is always incredibly close. As a child, my universe ended at the mountains that ring the San Luis Valley. There was little beyond it. I never put two and two together yet and realized there was more to my world than I knew. And now, with a single sentence, the universe had gotten very, very big for me. We all peered into the sky, each quietly searching for something. Finally, after several minutes, someone pointed, "There, there it is." I looked, and here's a star moving quietly across the sky. I watched it travel like some magical force among the stars, and that in years to come I learned so well. The star moved with so much quiet and dignity it amazed me. I remember it'd be several seconds before I even remembered to breathe. As I watched it move, it flashed and then it faded away into the night. And even at 4 years old, there was a part of me that wished I was up there riding along with it. Today I've seen God knows how many satellites flying over. And like that 4-year-old boy, I still wish I was along for the ride.
And a terrific job by Monty on the production of that piece and the editing. And again, a special thanks to Richard Muniz, who's a regular contributor here on Our American Stories. Check out Richard's blog at williamalban.wordpress.com and check out Richard's other stories at ouramericanstories.com. Just look up Richard Muniz, M-U-N-I-Z, in the search bar. He's got a great one on the first black lawman in Colorado, the Russian MiG jet, and many others. Richard Muniz's story about a light in the sky in the beautiful mountains of New Mexico here on Our American Stories. Folks, if you love the great American stories we tell and love America like we do, we're asking you to become a part of the Our American Stories family. If you agree that America is a good and great country, please make a donation. A monthly gift of $17.76 is fast becoming a favorite option for supporters. Go to OurAmericanStories.com now and go to the donate button and help us keep the great American stories coming. That's OurAmericanStories.com.
Ready to celebrate International Women's Day? M&M's and iHeart present Women Take the Mic, sharing empowering stories of women supporting and celebrating each other. And of course, there is a smooth and creamy companion for your listening pleasure, peanut butter M&M's, because they're just another way to help treat yourself in situations where you deserve a little added delight, like listening to your favorite podcast. So savor the deliciousness of peanut butter M&M's and spread some positivity. From breaking glass ceilings to dominating in sports and entertainment, women truly are unstoppable.
Welcome to the Scene to Scene podcast. I am your host, Valerie Complex. Today, I am chatting with Ji Young Yoo. Ji Young stars as co-lead in the 6-part limited series, Expats.
I think I learn a little bit with every character that I play. I think usually I play a character and it causes enough introspection that I learn something about myself. I honestly can't gush enough about Freaky Tales. I'm so excited to share it with more people.
If you like what you hear, be sure to review, like, and subscribe to the Scene to Scene podcast.
Hey, hey, it's Malcolm Gladwell, host of Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Your elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive entirely its own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.